morning, everyone. Thank you, Don, for reading that for me. As we look at the reading Don just read, we find a man that comes to Jesus with the knowledge of where he is and an expectation of what he thinks he's going to receive when he asks Jesus what he needs. The result that Jesus gives him of what he says he needs is not what he expected. He goes away sorrowful. The disciples and those who seen and heard Jesus also had an expectation of what Jesus was going to bring. They had in mind a physical result that was going to be a king in the land, a salvation from the Romans and restoration of the kingdom of Israel. We also find in this reading that that's not what's going to happen. Jesus tells them that the prophets say that he will be delivered and mocked and crucified, and on the third day he will rise again. These things they did not know because it was hidden from them. And along that way, we find that a certain blind man, when he hears what's going on, and he's told, he has expectations. And the people say, no, quiet down. As if Jesus don't want to hear them. They don't want to hear them. Their expectations, he's quiet. No. But Jesus says, bring him to me. And his expectations are met. With this text, lay down a foundation of what I want to talk about today. It could be either Jesus, the hope and change we need, or Jesus, the unexpected hope and change we need. Things going on around us this week had me thinking about that. Luke 19, in the very next chapter, while Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem, beginning in verse 28. And when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And he drew near to Bethage and Bethany, at the mount called Olivet. And he said, sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village up opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent in their way found it, just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners said of it, and said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And he said, the Lord has need of him. So they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him, and he went. Many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, He saw the city and wept over it. If you had known, even you, especially in this day, your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from you, from your eyes. For days will come upon you when enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. They will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house is a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Yesterday, I don't know, probably seen on news, there were celebration over an election, and people were dancing in the streets. That kind of reminds me of this. People had expectations, and, you know, right now, people have expectations in a political system or party, whatever their affiliation is. And somewhere along the line, it always lets you down. Something will happen where expectations will be shattered and hopes will be too. Or they may not be, but you never know. But the truth is, one thing that never changes is the need for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It always is the thing that people need the most. Fame doesn't satisfy. Fortunes do not satisfy. And all material things will bring unexpected change in your life, and a lot of times disappointment. But one thing that will never, and that's Jesus. At this time, we have a great opportunity to remember that, whether you're disappointed in the election or you're happy, whatever. I mean, we all have expectations, but one thing that is expected of us as Christians, and Aaron touched on this recently in one of his exhortations, that the same thing, we have the same thing in mind, a mission that is expected of us of the Lord, and that's to preach Jesus Christ and to pray for those who are in charge. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. In Romans 13. Romans 13, beginning in verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And he goes on to say that rulers are not for terror, but for good works. Everything will work for the Christian's good if we remember that God places all authority, whether great and small, and he uses them for his will. But for us, we should continue praying for all. And this is not about election, but it's just that don't have expectations in things here on earth, because they change. As I said, Jesus Christ doesn't change, or the mission of the church, which is to preach Jesus Christ and hope and the salvation that is in him. Expectations were met with Jesus according to the scriptures, but we find out that not everybody found out their expectations of what they thought Jesus was. And that's the basis of what I want to talk about today. We have an opportunity to teach about what Jesus is to people that need it, need to know. It's still today, no matter what happens, people still need, their number one need is Jesus Christ. Hopes and expectations will be shattered, but if we give them Jesus, that's the hope that they need. We have good opportunity right now, probably more than I ever seen in my lifetime. I think we have a good opportunity right now. When I began to look at the scriptures for myself, I had beliefs and expectations of what I thought Jesus was, and God too. But then I began to look through the scriptures and see what the book of Luke had to say. And it begins, we find in Luke, we find prophecies there of John the Baptist. We find how he worked to bring about John the Baptist, and he laid the foundation for his birth and prophecies of fulfillment. And then we go on to find right after that even a greater birth through a virgin, and a Savior would be coming through Mary. God, through prophecy of the past, would be fulfilling prophecy through two children, one after another. We find that John would be the forerunner. He'd be speaking the good tidings, the salvation of Jesus. Jesus would be bringing the light into the world that the world needed. They wouldn't know exactly what form that would be in, but Jesus would meet the expectations of what the scriptures said he would be. In those first couple chapters, as I said, I found out what I didn't know according to prophecy about birth, prophecy itself, salvation that I never expected. Began to open my eyes to who Jesus is and what I needed from Jesus. Then we go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we'll read the chapter, then I'll make some comments on it. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had When the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. And that you spoke truly." Then the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father. Will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship the spirit in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And he said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking to her?" And the woman left her water pot, and she went away into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And when they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." And he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there Do you not say, 'There are still 4 months, and when comes the harvest?' Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both who sows and who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. We go on to read that Samaritans come out to see Jesus and the things that the woman said about him. Some believe on her word, but after spending time with him, they come to believe also. And in verse 42, they say, "We know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." He goes on to Galilee. We see that when verse 46, "So when Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out to Judea, he went out to him and implored him to come down to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.' The nobleman said to him, 'Sir, come down, for my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your son lives.' So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Now as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, 'Your son lives.' Then he inquired of them the hour, got better. And they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left.' So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus had said to him, 'Your son lives.' And he himself believed, and his whole household. This, again, is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea. Looking at the account of the woman at the well, one thing that we find that would have never been expected, that Jesus would be bringing also those of the Jewish faith like the Samaritans, and bringing in a different kind of worship, one he called true worship. She thought he was talking about physical water, but he, to her unexpected delight, spoke of a spiritual water. Jesus would be bringing something more than the physical. And he also brought to her probably disappointment when she had heard this, that he knew of her marriages, and the one that she had now was not one that she was supposed to be in. Jesus was also all-seeing, and she did not know that. But on the account, others found out about it too, because she told him about it. He told me all things I ever did. Who would have expected that? Certainly she wouldn't have. And also the nobleman who came asking for his son to be healed, I'm sure he expected that Jesus would come down to his house. "Come to my house. My child's sick." Never expecting that Jesus would say, "Go, your child lives." And for by the mere words of Jesus, that his child would be healed. And in that chapter, I see an unexpected change coming in worship that the people aren't ready for. Unexpected truth and witness by the things that he said. Things he did. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, along with the rest of the book, to me is just, it's amazing, and I love it even more every time I read it, for the evidence that if you're willing to look at, speaks volumes. And it tells you of your need for Jesus. And if you're willing to accept it, where's your heart? But in the first Gospel of John, we find two things that I think are very important. We find an unexpected beginning that when we think of Jesus and probably what we've been told or what we've imagined, we probably are not going to find right away. I mean, it's huge that it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Or, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and in life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them they gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. As I said, in Luke, you find out that John was born before Jesus. But we find John testifies here that Jesus was before him. He's preferred before him. In verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed, and he did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They asked him, what then, are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. And they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, why do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor the Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. And these things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. John brought the word of Jesus coming. And what they did not expect is the authority he had from God. He had prophecy. He was fulfilling prophecy. Men were not expecting the means of John or the prophecy, how it would be fulfilled. But it was. This is how Jesus was announced to the world through John. The leaders of the day, even though they had the prophecies before them, were not willing to accept this. Beginning again in verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who's preferred before me, and he was before me. I did not know him, but he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, that is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." As I said, we have unexpected beginnings because of where Jesus came from. And we have an unexpected end in the way he would die. For John announces, not only is he before me, he also is the Lamb required for the sin of the world. Just as a footnote, if you'd like to mark this for sometime later in the future, Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, and beginning in verse 2. Micah 5, beginning in verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God, and they shall abide. For he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace." Psalm 22. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, reproach of men despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out from the lip and shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast out upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircled me. They gape me at the mouth. They gape me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought to me the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me, and a congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can see all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing they cast lots. But you, O my Lord, do not be far from me, O my strength. Hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword. My precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me, and I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden the face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. To those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot escape himself alive. Posterity shall serve him and shall be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. And also, Psalm 53. I'm sorry, Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness when we see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we, as it were, hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment, and he, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of living, for the transgression of my people. He was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. You make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. And his, by his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. We have two prophecies that are so powerful and strong. When you hear of Jesus and the salvation, are you to expect that salvation was brought to you by death? Prophets said he would suffer and he would do it for us. He would do it for many. He would intercede for those who could not do it for themselves. As I said, sometimes we have hopes and expectations in this life, which can be rough for many, but there's hope and there's true change through Jesus Christ. He died that sin could be paid, and that those who are willing to seek him, as we found earlier with the man who was not willing to give up all, will gain family, friends, and be part of a family that is, you're not able to number, but they're there. You share in one thing, Jesus, and the blessings that come through him, which is eternal life. The rulers didn't expect him, nor did they believe the things he did, and the witness that the Holy Spirit stamped the evidence and to verify the prophecies. Everything about Jesus was unexpected. Everything about Jesus brought hope and change that the people didn't expect, but they were glad when they seen it. Not right away, but they would be. We find out that he died, but that's not the end of the story. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the womb, or came to the tomb bringing spices they had prepared. When they had found a stone rolled away from the tomb, they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. It happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth and said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? For he is not here, but he is risen." Remember how he spoke to you when he was still alive in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day raised again." They remembered his words, and they returned from the tomb, and they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. They did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down and saw linen clothes lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things concerning the Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and he crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since all these things happened. And yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as he said. They did not see." They're heartbroken. Jesus has been crucified. They had hopes. They seem to have ended when he was crucified. And now they don't even know where his body is. They're just not sure where they're going. Even though they're walking, they're not sure. The stranger wants to know what's going on. Oh, this is what's going on. Our Savior's been crucified, and we don't even know where the body's at. They say he's alive. How could that be? Yeah. But he said to them, verse 25, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not the Christ have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" And then, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them and gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do your doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is, I myself, handle me and see. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this to them, he showed his hands and his feet. And while they still not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and he ate in their presence. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me." And he opened up their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. For you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass as he blessed them that he departed from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Unexpected expectations. They had visions of who he was going to be and how things were going to go. But God changed all that. Not only did he change it, he showed them in the scriptures the evidence of how this was done. And he said that they would go on to teach others. Sure, they certainly didn't expect that. They probably expected them to stay and take care of them and everything go back the way it was. But he went back to heaven and he left the gospel in their hands, that the rest of the world would know what the scriptures had said Jesus would do and how they would be fulfilled and how we would be blessed through his suffering and his resurrection. Acts chapter 2. We go on to find that the Spirit comes upon them and we find them teaching. In Acts chapter 2, on the very first day of their teaching, on the day of Pentecost, Peter and the others expound on to them how scripture had been fulfilled, how prophecy would bring about the Lord, and how he would not stay in the grave. verse 25 of Acts 2. Now, let me go back to verse 22. Acts beginning in verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you, attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, and as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and full knowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you. That's Patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This God was raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who were gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayers. Brother, and that's my lesson for you today. Jesus will always be the hope and the change that we need. May not meet our expectations, but all is sufficient through the scriptures that these things have been done and met according to Jesus and prophecies. Everything we need is through him. If we're willing to believe the evidence, submit to obedience to the gospel, then our hope is no longer here. It's in heaven. It's in a time to come. Eternal life. There is no end. There are no terms of ending as there are here. Eternal life with the Father through Jesus. God bless the reading of his words today.
There's a